Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. There is a budget plan that has been announced by Democratic leaders in the California legislature. There is not a press conference planned by Governor Newsom today at noon. However, over the next number of days, we do expect to hear more about this, and we'll let you know if there is a press conference planned for tomorrow. Los Angeles County has by far more COVID-19 cases than any other California county, more than 57,000, in fact, as of today. The next closest county is Riverside. Listen to the distance here, with just a little over 8,000. Sacramento is down at 16th on that list. San Joaquin County is 18th on the list. And way down in 37th place is Nevada County. The director of Health and Human Services, Ryan Groover, is on the phone with us again. Hello, Ryan. Glad to have you back on Insight.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Give me some perspective on being 37th of 58 counties. How does that register with you?
Well, I think that's probably proportional with our population. We have 100,000 residents compared to LA County's 10 million, I believe. So being 36th on the list is probably proportionally where we would expect to be. We definitely don't feel isolated from this by any stretch. We have 49 cases now, and particularly have some regional issues that make it challenging, and being a smaller county means we also have less resources to deal with things of this nature. So,
tell me what you know about the most recent cases and the type of transmission.
So after a month with no new cases, we've seen 8 new cases this week, including 6 Tuesday, which is our largest single increase to date. Excuse me. Six of the cases this week were closely connected with a common exposure. The other two were people who had no symptoms. The cases are still under investigation, so we don't at this time have final information on whether that was a result of community transmission versus travel-related. So that's still ongoing investigation. But it's definitely encouraging that they were related to a common exposure rather than kind of 6 completely unrelated cases that would suggest widespread community transmission. But the devil's in the details in terms of how many exposures there were as a result of those, and that information will continue to be developed as we conduct the investigations.
Does that common exposure have to do with people being out and about more or the holiday that we passed through?
That's unknown at this time. They all are Eastern County cases, all 8 of the new cases. That's our Truckee region, and anecdotally, there were a lot of visitors coming up to the area over the holiday weekend, and continue to be a lot of visitors frequenting the trails and recreation areas. So that remains a high concern. I'm not aware that these specific cases are related to that. It's something we would expect to see new cases around now or in the coming week based on the dormancy period related to this activity. But it continues, and we continue to be concerned about it because people definitely come up to the Truckee area from the Bay Area. It's close to Washoe County, which has a proportionally higher prevalence. And so we're very concerned about the Truckee region.
Where are testing sites, and how many people in your county of nearly 100,000 do you want to be tested?
We want everybody to be tested if possible. We have 2 state-run testing sites, the OptumServe testing sites in Grass Valley at the Veterans Hall, and then there's one in Kings Beach currently as well, and those can be accessed by going to our website. There's a link to register. You need an appointment, but you don't need to be symptomatic. You don't need to have insurance. There's no out-of-pocket cost for it, and so we're really encouraging as many people to get tested as possible. The more people get tested, the earlier we'll know about cases, and the quickly we'll be able to respond within our containment capacity and not have to move backwards on the reopening roadmap.
Some counties have stepped into the reopening, seen what's happened with cases, pulled back a little bit, or decided not to go any farther. In light of the spike that you described, and I understand it's still in investigation stages, but what are your thoughts about moving ahead with reopening?
So it really depends on how things play out. These 6 cases are certainly within our capacity, the capacities that we've developed over time. If we have a number of new cases that are coming from different sources and we see widespread transmission that exceeds that capacity, obviously that would inject a note of caution in reopening plans. Working in our favor, our hospitals have been practicing and honing their surge plans. We have personal protective equipment, and we're working to get more. We have contact tracing capacity. We currently have 20 staff trained in contact tracing and investigations, and we'll have five more by next week. For perspective, our whole public health department is only 33 staff, so that's a huge increase in trained contact tracers. And then we have the testing both at private providers and the two sites that I mentioned. So we're in a lot better place due to having flattened the curve. We have more capacities to be able to contain additional outbreaks. But if they get beyond our capacity, that's when we would have to start thinking about how ready we are to continue with reopening.
Ryan, have you been tested yourself or other people that are kind of in the realm of public health but exposure to?
I got tested at the OptumServe site in Grass Valley in order to see what it was all about. People had been saying that it was difficult to get tested or it was painful to get tested, and I didn't want to be out there advocating for people to get tested even if they're asymptomatic and not do it myself. And I can say it was a very smooth process. I was in and out in 5 minutes. I had my results in 48 hours, and they were negative. And the experience, it's not something I would do for fun, but it makes you feel like you have to sneeze. It's definitely not painful. So I would encourage everybody to do that because, that testing, early and frequent testing means that we'll be able to respond more quickly. And as a community, we definitely don't want to take steps back because there are impacts beyond COVID-19 to our businesses and our community's health.
Thanks for the update, Ryan. I appreciate it, and stay safe.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's Nevada County Director of Health and Human Services, Ryan Groover. Now we're going to talk more specifically about testing. You just heard Ryan's description. In Sacramento County, at the drive-in testing site or drive-through testing site at Cal Expo, there is a new, less invasive method. The swab doesn't push as far back into the nasal cavity, but it stays shallower, meaning there's a little less discomfort, and it might be something that you find more appealing if you are a little fearful about this. And of course, patients in some of these drive-through sites are handed the swab to do it themselves under the direction of a nurse. So we're going to post some of the more recent Sacramento County advisories on testing as well. On the phone now is Ida Long. She is Director of Community Outreach Services for Ellica Health Center. And Ellica has these big mobile clinics on wheels that have been reaching out to people who may be harder to reach in terms of healthcare services and testing. Ida, glad to have you with us today on Insight.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
How much are your mobile clinics being used for COVID-19 testing?
Every day, Monday through Thursday, and also on the weekends, we are providing ongoing daily access to COVID-19 testing to hard-to-reach populations. And I'm talking about the homeless patients living on the streets or at the shelters, and also the farm workers that are working 7 days a week. We just provided testing to them on Sunday, and we went to their migrant center.
And the testing is free, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So tell me about the interaction, the kind of conversation that happens around testing in your mobile clinics, and then we'll get to some of the results.
The patients are very willing to be tested. I think everyone is eager to know their status and also to prevent their others from getting infected, and especially their loved ones. So they ask about questions, you know, how uncomfortable it is, and we try to answer as many questions as possible to make an easy experience. They're very willing to get the survey, the questionnaire done. It's very short, and it's free. And it takes 2 minutes, you know, from beginning to end for the process. And once they leave and they finish the test, almost everyone is telling us that it is an uncomfortable situation, but it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be. So it's an uncomfortable experience, but it's not painful.
I think we'll add Lynn Lee into the conversation. She is Community Outreach Specialist. And Lynn, I'm glad you're joining us as well. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I don't know which one of you is best to talk about how many tests were conducted, but I am interested in not only the number, but the results.
Yes. So since April 27th, we conducted 329 tests, and all of them have been negative so far.
Wow. How quickly do people get results?
So they can get the results within 3 days, and the results are completely confidential.
But if these are people that are hard to reach anyway, what's the follow-up contact to let them know about the results? How does the communication happen?
So since results are confidential, we always ask the patient to give us one or two phone numbers, working cell phone numbers, and our provider is providing the test results to them. If we don't have the ability to reach out to any of the two working cell phone numbers they provided to us, we always ask for their emergency contact. We call the emergency contact and ask them to let the patient know that we need to be in contact with them and for them to call us back. Once we speak with the patient, we provide the results to them. As a federal qualified health center and reporting institution, we have to notify the local public health department for any positive, and we notify the patient directly.
And Ida, you're contracted with Sacramento County. Are there other counties that your mobile clinics are working with?
Yes, we went to Stanislaus County on Sunday, and we're also working with Yolo County Health Department.
And the care, the health care and visits are continuing, right? That's happening weekly still?
Yes, that is correct. Once we finish with the COVID-19 testing, our mobile unit continues to visit those specific sites on a weekly basis to provide access to primary care services, established care, also bring access to emergency dental services and behavioral health services as well. Many of our individuals have requested, you know, if we have anyone they can talk to. And it's, right now, we're going through this pandemic, and what a perfect opportunity for those individuals to have someone they can talk to, and for that individual, clinical licensed social worker to guide them through the emotions and what to expect during this pandemic.
So, Lynn, how many different languages are you able to communicate with people in? And I imagine you have people that can be contacted as translators if needed.
Hi, so we have 20 languages, and our staff are bilingual, and we have some that are trilingual. And we do aim to have staff there who can be speak multiple languages, just because we know that the patient population, usually English is not their first language, so we do want to cater to them and let them know that we are here for them no matter what language they speak.
And Lynn, we posted pictures of these big mobile vans, but when someone walks in, what's inside? What does it look like? And what can be done in there?
Yes, so because it's called a mobile clinic, it looks exactly just like a clinic, much smaller, but we do have medical rooms, we have dental rooms, we have a reception area, we have a bathroom, and you can expect to see what you see in a brick-and-mortar clinic to also be on the bus as well.
All right. So how does somebody connect with a mobile unit if it's needed outside of the county communication? Ida, what's the outreach process?
We usually coordinate efforts for hard-to-reach populations with local organizations or community-based organizations. So we create together a flyer in English and in Spanish or the different language that depending on the population we're serving. And we do door-to-door communication, engagement, and also drop off flyers. And also at the Migrant Centers, what we did is that everyone is in a text message group, and the Center of Migration Services sends a message and a memo to everyone that is living in the Migrant Center so they know the hours and the requirements they need to bring in order for them to get a free test. the day of the mobile unit that is being providing that service.
We will post more information on our website. I don't think I've spoken to anyone during this outbreak who has said all test results were negative. But once again, of more than 300 tests, with all being negative, I think that that is one of those glimmers of light in all of this. So, Lynn, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Lynn Lee, Community Outreach Specialist for Ellica Health, and Ide Long. Thank you, Ide. Glad to have your time as well.
Thank you. And those results were among homeless individuals living at the shelter. So we're very happy to report that outcome for the month of May.
All right. Thank you so much, Ide. She is Director of Community Outreach Services for Ellica Health Center. We'll be back in just a bit. The Uplift is next. We're going to talk about a community rally Saturday planned by the filmmaker and director Dion Taylor. He's standing by. We'll be right back.